You're listening to Brain Lenses, a show about how we perceive the world, ourselves, and each other. I'm Colin Wright. In the field of linguistics, a filled pause refers to some kind of word or emphatic sound, consciously or subconsciously filling what would otherwise be silence in a conversation. The most common use for such fillers, which include things like harumphs and grunts, and words like and is occupying a blank space in a conversation, sometimes called turn-holding, to indicate that we're not done speaking yet. Filled pauses are just one type of filler, frequently deployed in verbal communication, as we also tend to use placeholder terms like that guy or whatchamacallit to reference indexed concepts, but these pauses stand out as being incredibly common across all studied languages and as being derided as indicators of negative attributes in those who use them. Their frequency across such a broad array of languages is likely the result of their utility, having some kind of let me think for a moment sound that can be woven into a conversation is useful, especially since the alternative is either unthoughtful, no-filter conversation or back-and-forths riddled with silences that make establishing a balanced conversational rhythm difficult. Those involved never quite sure when the other person has finished a thought and thus more prone to accidental interruption. Such fillers also provide additional context clues for listeners as to the tone and intended meaning of what's being said, providing a sort of metadata atop the literal, definitional content of the words being spoken. This can make conversation more fluent in the sense of being more clear and comprehensible to everyone involved, despite such filler sounds sometimes being perceived as disfluencies that need to be corrected. The derision that's been aimed at these fillers seems to be the consequence of a misunderstanding of their purpose and utility. Many people associate dropping ums and uhs into conversation with sluggish, unthoughtful communication, and though they often indicate the opposite, ultra-formal conceptions of proper speaking, in part differentiated by fluid diction and an absence of fillers, have been integrated into educational and cultural norms to such a degree that there's a common bias against fillers and those who use them. It's been speculated that part of why these fillers have become so widely dismissed is that the members of society who use them most, young people, and young women in particular, are also often the target of derision and dismissal. Anything associated with these groups is assumed to be thoughtlessly sloppy and purposeless, rather than intentionally formed, if not in a strict, streamlined, or even conscious way. The prejudices we might have against filler words, then, don't seem to be backed up by research, and the apparent, though difficult to prove, rationale for avoiding them seems to be an attempt to distinguish ourselves from more casual communication norms, to associate ourselves with those who adhere to those stricter standards, or to distinguish ourselves from those looked down upon groups, even if we might sacrifice some of our subtle communication cues in the process. You can find out more about Brain Lenses, including how to support this show, and in return, receive an additional episode of the show each week at brainlenses.com. You can also support this and all of my projects at understandery.com. I'm Colin Wright, and I'll talk to you again next week.